Okay, this is the meeting of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, Christina, can we have a list of those present and the apologies received?
Sure. From CCNSO, we have Martin Boyle, Becky Burrow, Keith Davidson, Stephen Deerhaek, Dejan Djukic, Daniel Kalchev, Eberhard Lisse, Patricia Poblete, Nigel Roberts, Dottie Sparks DeBlanc, and from Liaisons, we have Maureen Hilliard and Cheryl Langdon-Orr. From Staff Support and Special Advisors, we have Jaap Akkerhuis, Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. And apologies from Bill Semick, Suzanne Rodell, possibly Christy Spain, and from Eberhard Lisse for the second hour of this call.
Thank
one
you,
patient of mine cancelled, so I get half an hour more today.
Excellent. Okay, no one else on the call whose name wasn't mentioned? Okay.
Keith, can I just say, Becky, your line is making a bit of a noise.
Okay, I will mute it.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you. We'll accept the apologies and note those present. Confirmation of the agenda, that I haven't seen dissent from the proposed agenda I put around. So does anyone have any comments? Is there anything that needs changing? If not, we'll stay with the agenda as circulated. And move on to item 3 on the agenda, confirmation of the meeting report for 21 March, or 9th of May, as it should be. I don't know why my mind got stuck on 21 March, but the later agenda said 9th of May. That's the report that's up in front of you now. So any comments, any corrections? If not, shall we move on to the substantive issue for tonight and the topic of revocation? I really would like us to finalise the analysis document tonight, and so that we can revert to incorporating it into the main document and make some real progress before Durban. So with that in mind, can I remind all participants tonight, can we tackle things that are at a significant level rather than any getting down into the weeds, and see if we can approach this very strategically rather than at any great degree of detail. So with that, Bernie, can I hand over to you, and you walk us through the changes, the agreed changes, and the unresolved issues that we still have. Thank you, Bernie.
Yes, sir. Can everyone hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Excellent. All right. So, as far as I can tell, the track changes did work in the PDF document we've got in front of us. So we'll go from that. If I can get to a size that I can actually read without my glasses. All right, I believe our first change is in 5322. And I'll pull up on a separate screen here versus our meeting notes. Ta-da. Meeting notes, 0509. All right, so 5322, the change in front of you was agreed, unless, and we'll read it one more time as per our habit. I see Nigel has his hand up, sir. Do you want to deal with that?
Yes, go ahead, Nigel.
Okay, just waiting for the mute to reappear. I'm really puzzled about this. clause, I thought we'd agreed to delete the whole lot of it. I do not believe that the concept of being equitable varies in context. Equitable is something that pretty much standard. You can't say somebody can be less honest or more honest in some circumstances, or less fair or more fair in some circumstances. I am really unhappy about the whole of this clause. So simply removing the word justice, honesty and competence and replacing it with the manager being equitable doesn't address my problem.
Okay, thanks, Nigel. Martin.
Thanks, Chair. I don't actually have a problem with this, and in fact I do find it as being quite important to set equitability, honesty and competence into the framework of what the job is, rather than having something that could then be quite subjective about what I do in my private life. So I actually find this clause, this subparagraph as written, quite helpful in that it does address wording in RFC 1591, but it does include the putting it into context.
Thanks, Martin. Okay, well, it seems like we've got a dollar each way there. Martin, could I ask you, when you're speaking, can you maybe move the microphone a little further away from your mouth? It's just we're getting a lot of subterranean sounds coming through as well, I think. So I don't know if it's a different microphone than you usually use, but your sound quality was not great for us. Okay.
Sorry about that, Keith. Happening is that I'm using a headpiece, and it's not the one I normally use, and I'm on Adobe, which is what I don't normally use, so I'll try and speak softly.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I don't know what how we can deal with this. I don't know. Cheryl, in the hope that Cheryl will have a compromise for us.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to have a compromise, but the way I read it, it is making it very clear that these are matters which may be variable in when we look at when the matter of context is looked at. I mean, it's just saying, in addition, questions regarding the manager's... Well, I don't like the sentence, I must say. I like what it says. I don't like the sentence. So the manager being equitable, just, honest and competent and serving the local internet community are highly contextual. I don't disagree with that sentence. I think it's a very important sentence to be there. I would suggest probably we should be saying something like questions regarding the manager... conducting operations in an equitable, just, honest and competent manner and serving the local internet community might be better language, but we're not getting into the weeds. So at the high level, I guess I'm coming down on the... It is a useful sentence. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Does anyone else have any comments? I see Nigel with his hand raised again. Nigel.
Well, maybe that's something that's useful is intended, but what is written is extremely dangerous. I'm looking here at the Journal of World Investment and Trade, an article called Fair and Equitable Treatment in Arbitration. And it says here that fair and equitable treatment is currently the most important standard in disputes. Now, obviously, that's not redelegation disputes, it's investment disputes. Equitability is not a movable feast. I think I know what Martin's trying to say here when he wrote this. And I don't disagree with the concept that, in fact, I fully support the concept that many things are local, such that in some circumstances it may be appropriate to publish certain things, in others it may be appropriate not to publish certain things, and that depends on the cultural and legal context in the country concerned. I mean, there's an example locally here. In the UK, it's kind of regarded as being very bad to publish reverse directories in the telephone system. Here, we've done it for years, and the Data Protection Commissioner agrees with this as being local custom and practice. So the concept of doing of a margin of appreciation is not a bad one. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you come round and say what is fair and equitable treatment differs from country to country, what you're actually saying is that it's all right for the rule of law to apply in London or Washington, but fair and equitable treatment might mean Saddam Hussein sticking a machine gun up your face. And that I can't accept this. Fair and equitable treatment is not a variable feast, and we can't be saying that.
I guess the issue here is whether Saddam Hussein pokes a machine gun in everyone's face, then it would be probably more equitable. But I think it is a lift that Martin had directly from RFC 1591, which said, and have the ability to do an equitable, just, honest and competent job. So hard to argue about.
Yes, and that is not a variable feast.
No.
Cheryl here, I don't see that it's saying it's a variable feast, Nigel, so please help me understand why the context it's highly contextual means it will be by definition variable.
No, what it's saying here, it says here, the working group notes that the concept of being equitable to all groups varies depending upon context. No, it does not. The concept of being equitable is an absolute concept of just, honesty and fairness. And I cannot accept a document that says anything different.
Thanks, Nigel. Eberhard.
As I said last time, justice is absolute. I concur with Nigel. I cannot accept it as is. The point is, look at the recent .ml delegation. A government official lies to ICANN, repatriates the domain from inside the country outside the country by lying to ICANN. And then this is then being called equitable, just and honest. It's not acceptable. These are, like Nigel says, these are absolutes. They are not very depending on context. These are absolutes.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that we've been around this debate often enough. I'm wondering if we note the exception in a footnote that Nigel and Eberhard have, and then I don't think I've heard any dissent from anyone else.
Keith, this means I will vote against this thing. You cannot have a statement saying that honesty varies from country to country, which is what the words here say. It's not the intent. I accept it's not the intent. But that's what the words say.
Cheryl here. I did suggest in the chat, if Becky wrote this language, and I think we all understand what the intent is, it would be very good to hear Becky speak to this, and perhaps there are words that would be more acceptable to everybody. But certainly, I mean, I can't imagine us, for example, in the Heard and McDonald Islands, having much luck getting a local internet community to be treated equitably. I'm sure the local RSPCA would have issues because there's only law of life there. You know what I mean? We've got to find not the edges of the bell curve here, but something that will work for the middle of the bell curve. Thank you.
Yes. No, I think Antarctica has a policy of only entertaining registrations from people who were born and still reside in the Antarctic. And since no person has yet been born in the Antarctic, nobody qualifies for a name. So you could argue that's equitable, but it's a different sort of equitable to elsewhere. Yeah. And while that's a silly example, it's nonetheless an example. Okay, Patricio has his hand raised, and I'm assuming Nigel and Eberhardt have just not reduced their hands, or removed their hands at this stage. But anyway, Patricio first.
Thanks, Keith. Patricio here. I understand that the aim of having this paragraph is to say that the IANA may not be able to assess the whether some behavior is equitable or honest or just, and that perhaps it is in the local community where such issues are best discussed and solved, perhaps the local courts or whatever. If our aim is that, if I'm not mistaken, then perhaps we could try to say that without the initial part that I can very well understand why it is very arguable whether that is true or not. I tend to side with Nigel and Eberhardt in that that these concepts tend to be universal. Whether, on the other hand, assessing whether something is honest or just or equitable in maybe best done in the local community.
Okay, thanks, Patricia.
It's Becky.
Becky.
Yay! Yeah. I'm sorry, I was on mute and driving, and my phone was dropped, and I didn't want to get in an accident. I did not mean to suggest that there were, that equitable and all of those things were a movable piece or a moving target. What I meant by that was that it depends on sort of what the requirements that the community has established with respect to operations of the CTTLD. For example, you have to be born in Antarctica. And just to Eberhardt's point, that reference is to administering the operation of the CCTLD in a fair, equitable, and just way. It's not about the sort of, you know, what the country does. So I think that we are in agreement that we are not talking about a fluffy notion that says it's okay to oppress people in some cultures and not in others. I do think Cheryl's right that what we're talking about is, sort of equitable treatment with respect to the operation of the domain by the domain manager, and that there must be some, and I also think that Patricio's point is also what I was trying to get at, which is that there will be facts that are, you know, sort of readily available to people on the ground, but not readily available to IANA. So those are all of the concepts. I don't think that I hear disagreement with those concepts. It's the statement of the concepts that seems to be troubling people.
Okay, I noticed that Martin agreeing with you Becky, and I also see Bernie saying the comments are good and let's rewrite. Stephen saying also on the chat, can we snip out the first sentence? I think before we continue, both Nigel and Eberhardt have their hands raised. Nigel has his hand raised and Eberhardt. So Nigel first.
Am I still on mute, first of all?
No, we can
hear you.
Okay, that's excellent. This is where we were on the last call, I seem to recall. I'm with Becky here. I know what's intended. It's clear to me that's not what's intended, but that's not what is written, and that's not what will be taken from these words by somebody in the future.
So we need to rewrite.
Let me just make my position clear here. Any words which inadvertently regard honesty or equitability, and by that I mean equity in the sense of being fair, in fairness, the old Lord Chancellor concepts, that that is anything other than an absolute, that it varies, I cannot accept, and this will taint the whole document, because it will allow somebody to say in the future that IANA should not intervene in a clear breach of fundamental rights. So that's what concerns. I'm on the side of Martin. I'm on the side of Martin in the fact that the principle of subsidiarity applies. That local communities are best judged to decide how to run CCTLD. That does not what equitable means in this context here. Being equitable to all groups in the domain does not mean that you must treat everybody the same as the way .com treats the world. That there is, in international law, the concept of margin of appreciation, that different cultures have different ways of approaching things. That is not a problem. In fact, we should be saying this. So Martin's right to want to see this in here. But if we do it in such a way that later can be either deliberately or unintentionally misinterpreted to suggest that because a CCTLD manager is in country and it knows best and the concepts of honesty are different in different countries, well, I'm sorry, but that's not acceptable, and we need to find a form of words that approaches this from the point of view that the result that we all want.
Yeah, I think the issue I have, Nigel, with where we're heading is that if you stress the equitable nature of equitable, then you'll end up with disputes over, you know, people will say, well, in New Zealand they have a flat price per registrar regardless of the number of names the registrar has. We've got to introduce that everywhere because that's equitable. And wherever there's a price differential for large registrars, that's not equitable, and therefore they must change. So we shouldn't be making the extreme opposite a part of the possibility of the framework for the future. Anyway,
Steve, that's not what it means. Equitable in this context means that you mustn't treat your brother-in-law more favourably than another applicant for a domain name.
Sure,
that's what it means.
I know. That's the intent, but it's how it would be read that worries me. Anyway, we have Eberhard, and I think then we need to move on. So, Eberhard.
Okay. Because we are rewriting it, we don't have to deal with the importance of this any longer. But I must say, this is not going to be footnoted. And by the way, it's not the local internet community that runs a TLD, it's the domain, it's the manager. Okay? CCTLDs are by nature unilateral, not even bilateral, unless they have an agreement with ICANN. How I run my CCTLD is not subject to approval of the local internet community, only in the case that it is, how I run my CCTLD is only subject to what we decide here is gross substantial misbehavior or persistent problems. It is not subject to the internet community. I do not recognize an internet community having any impact on .na. I do not recognize ICANN as having any impact on .na because they were delegated there. It was created before ICANN even existed. Okay, so we must be very careful how we phrase this. We are not going to make policy. We are interpreting what RFC 1591 says.
Okay, and I think on the converse of that, I would argue that here in New Zealand, we regard ourselves purely as the custodian of .nz for the duration of the period that the local internet community continues to support us. And when they cease supporting us, should that ever happen, we would probably agree to a redelegation because we haven't done our job in terms of consulting and so on. So I think that's just a highlight of the different models in any case.
Yes,
anyway,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yep.
NZ can decide how they see their relationship with the local internet community, and ICANN, any way they want. So can we, so can Nigel, so can any other CCTLD manager. We're only looking at substantial misbehavior, and we're only looking at persistent problems with where the local internet community have an input. If Antarctica, you must be born in Antarctica, or in country X, you must stand on your head when you apply for a domain. As long as everybody has to do that, the policies don't really have to be reasonable. They only have to be equitable.
Okay. Anyway, look, points well made, I guess. So let's go back to the drafting table. And Becky, do you think you have enough to work on this to come up with some?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Nigel.
One final point. I thought we had simply decided at the last meeting that it would not do any harm to remove the point two because the point one says it all, but. That's possibly an option Becky might consider. Perhaps if I can give some input bilaterally and we can discuss this and come back without being faced with things that don't appear to have changed very much, at least, next time.
Okay, look, I think let's put a square bracket around the entire sentence and be prepared to strike it if we have to. I think it does add something if we can get it right. But I think as we're finding out, it's quite a delicate balance here. Martin has a further point, and then I think we must move on. So, Martin.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Keith. It's actually just in response to Nigel's last point. Subpoint 2 is actually different to subpoint 1. Subpoint 2 picks up on... all the things as the incompetence which are picked up in RFC 1591 subpoint 1 only picks up equitability to all groups so essentially the way I'm reading this paragraph the subclause 2 is that these particular issues are not issues that ICANN is going to be able to make a decision on. The decision has to be made locally in whatever way is deemed to be relevant. But I'm quite happy to see Becky have another go at bashing away at this text. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Okay, I think let's lay the matter to this here and move on. And Becky, can we give you the action point of attempting a redraft? And Bernie, if we can put a square bracket around the sentence. And while I would really dislike seeing it disappear in its entirety, if that's what we're faced with, we'll proceed on that basis. Okay, can we move on then, please? Nigel, is your hand still up for a purpose? Or did you just forget to take it down? That's gone. Thank you. So please continue, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. 5333 replaced to insure and added CC as per the request. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It seems fairly straightforward. Comments, questions, this was noted as agreed.
There doesn't appear to be any questions arising, so I'll take silence as consent and affirmation that that's now accepted text. There's still no comments, so we'll do that. Thank you. Please proceed, Bernie.
5.3.4, really some minor edits, taking out internet, as you can see in the track changes, and the big change is at the bottom on 5.3.4.1.3, and we should probably go through that. So let's just block it off and look at everything up until 53.4.12. They were minor changes, and let's get that done. So the numbering system has been changed as per the note. The IANA contractor reference has been adjusted to be standardized, and some minor grammatical corrections up until 5.3.4.12. Are there any comments?
All good.
Nigel saying all good. No other comments, nothing in the chat. Nobody seeking the floor. Again, we have agreed text. So thanks, Benny. Please continue while we're on a roll.
Okay, 53.4.13, where we have some changes. What we've got here, and we'll read it since it's a bit of a change. The FOI working group notes, however, that the IANA contractor will rarely be in a good position to evaluate the extent to which a designated manager is carrying out the necessary responsibilities of a CCTLD operator in a manner that is equitable, just, honest, or except insofar as it compromises the stability and security of the DNS, a competent manner. Accordingly, the FOI Working Group interprets RFC 1591 to mean that revocation should not be an appropriate exercise of its right to step in unless the designated manager has substantially misbehaved in a manner that poses a risk to the stability or security of the DNS and or the designated manager has refused to correct repeated problems with email connectivity, presence on the Internet, and or maintenance. The new text. So basically all of this were minor adjustments and it was okay. The part we were unhappy with was accordingly under RFC 1591, blah, 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 which is struck out. The FOI working group believes that it is not appropriate for the IANA contractor to step in on issues where the actions of the delegated manager do not pose a threat to the stability or security of the DNS and that such issues should be resolved locally. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Benny. And I think we had pretty solid agreement on this, but Nigel the second has his hand raised. So, Nigel. And Nigel, we're not hearing you. And Cheryl and Everhart are agreeing that not hearing from
Hello.
You is a good thing. There you go.
Okay. This is kind of interesting. As a CCTLD manager myself that could potentially be affected, as we all could, by any widening or narrowing of IANA's role to step in, clearly, I have to say, it would not be in our personal interest to widen the ability to step in. But I'm reading this again, and I'm thinking that this does not interpret RFC 1591. What it does, it says what some members of this group would like it to say. I don't think RFC 1591 does say what 53413 says. Again, I can see where it's coming from. I can see what we're trying to say, and what we're trying to say is probably correct. But it does not say that simply because it would be impractical or difficult for IANA to intervene or step in, that therefore RFC 1591 is construed to say that that it would not be appropriate for them to step in. What you're actually saying here is this is a practical matter, not what the legislation says. The legislation says IANA may step in where there's substantial misbehavior. What you're interpreting it to say, which it does not say, is that IANA can only step in where there is substantial misbehavior and that substantial misbehavior poses a risk to the stability or security of the DNS. That's not what the words say. The words say they can step in for substantial misbehavior.
Cheryl taking a deep breath there.
Okay.
I guess I read 5.3.4.1.3 with the knowledge of what we've already, I trust, going to accept in 5.3.5.2, which is defining substantial misbehaviour. And I guess that's why I did my great big sigh. Sorry.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl.
I don't think the two are, Cheryl, I don't think the two are inconsistent. But what I'm and I've been concerned about this throughout, it's an approach problem. We, from time to time, confuse interpretation with precatory words, with stating what we would hope to be, or even policy making. The words don't say that. The words say there is substantial misbehavior. We don't define what substantial misbehavior is explicitly, because we can't. We can't cater for all situations. It's almost like the old 1960s definition of pornography. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it, as one judge
said. That was not pornography, that was obscenity.
Well done.
Quite a difference, I think you'll find.
Yeah, usually. But we are saying is, you know, egregious or persistent activities that may include performing the necessary responsibilities of a designated manager in a manner that impacts serious harm or has substantial adverse impact on the internet community by posing a threat to its stability and security. So we are of the DNS, so we are saying that. And because we're saying that, that, I guess, influences my reading of the new text in 5.3.4.1.3. Sorry, it was Cheryl jumping in. I apologise, Martin, you had your hand up. I should not have jumped in. I got all excited.
Thank you, Cheryl. Back to Martin.
I think actually Cheryl said everything I wanted to say. This is something that develops from 5.3.2.2 that nobody can expect the IANA operator to judge things that it can't judge. And when we've been through this discussion before, we actually did come up on the security and the stability part of this discussion. Essentially, I think what Nigel is saying does throw into quite serious question the whole of the what do we mean by serious misbehaviour. It almost puts us back to square one. If that's where we want to go, then fine. It's just that I do feel very much that, along with Cheryl, that this was exactly why 5.3.2.2 was a necessary clause. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Most useful, I think. And, I'm really struggling with this one because I think we've been round and round the mulberry bush so many times on this that I'm quite dizzy on it. And Nigel, I think I'm detecting little bits of inconsistency with the previous positions you've taken on it as well. So I'm wondering, given that nobody else is indicating any objection, whether you're registering a real objection or whether you think the text could be improved further, Nigel.
Yes. No. I think by saying you're detecting inconsistency, you are recognising my point. The issue is here that the implication of the red line text at the bottom of 5.3.4.1.3 is that there are. Let's take it step by step. We have defined substantial misbehaviour. I'm not going to rehearse or revisit that. We've defined it somewhere else. Even if we haven't, we're going to. So we've got a definition of substantial misbehaviour.
Yeah.
Then what you're saying here is that substantial misbehaviour has to affect the DNS, stability and security of the DNS. Otherwise, it's not substantial. That's what I think where we're going with this. If that's so, then all the red line stuff is completely otiose because it's implying that IANA has a discretionary power to intervene when the misbehaviour is not substantial. And we've already defined it to say that it hasn't. So that's my issue here. The issue is here that it's implying that IANA can take discretionary interventions, and we're saying here that they shouldn't. But the fact is, I believe that the policy says they can't anyway.
Okay. Is there anyone who's going to assert some strong agreement or alignment with Nigel's position here?
I mean, having said this, Keith, I'm not going to object to what's being said here. What I'm saying is that by saying it in the way that we're saying it, we're weakening the point that we're making in the substantial misbehaviour section.
Yeah. Okay. Can we go to the fine mind of Becky and just ask Becky if she sees any inconsistency with the 1591 statement here?
Well, I mean, I don't think that, I mean, if all we're doing is saying what 1591 says, then we might as well just publish 1591 and go home. So I don't have Nigel's sort of fundamental issue with acknowledging that, you know, the practical realities have a role to play in what 1591 means. Having said that, I have to go back and look at the text. I mean, I understand the argument that Nigel is making, and if we have, in fact, defined substantial misbehavior to mean only problems that affect the stability and security of the Internet, then, and this relates only to substantial misbehavior, then I understand what he's saying. But I need to go back and look at this in context, because the last time I looked at it, we hadn't crossed the line that Nigel's concerned about. But just having said that, and I hear Nigel saying two things. One is sort of saying what we wish it said as opposed to what it says, versus interpreting it in a way that is not necessary given what we've already done. And so I would agree that the second point might be a problem, but I don't think in this case that recognizing sort of practical reality puts us out of the scope of interpretation.
Yeah.
Just one final. I agree with all of that, Becky, and the last thing I was saying was not that we can't say these things, but we have to identify our behavior when we say them. We don't say it's interpretation when it's in fact not. We say we're making an observation. In reality, this IANA will have insufficient information to make such judgments. But we don't say that therefore means that the interpretation is X. That's all I'm saying at that point. Nothing more than that.
Would you prefer the wording of the last sentence to read, the FOI working group interprets that it is not appropriate?
No, it's the exact opposite.
So I think what he's saying is notes, or as a matter of practical reality, we acknowledge the following.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are you a long way away from, how far away from accepting it are you, Nigel? Could you live with it?
I think we're millimeters away. But I think Becky knows where I'm coming from, and I'm sure that we can dispose of this in 10 or 15 minutes together.
Okay. Well, look, I think let's do that. And I mean, again, we're dangerously close to putting square brackets around yet another thing, which is an interpretation, or is interpretive, and surely that's our job. So I don't really want to be deleting
right.
that provides some clearer colour and depth to the policy. So let's try, and if we can take that action point for Nigel and Becky to see if they can come up with some compromise text over the next week. Okay, any other discussion or any other issues to raise on 53413? If not, Abahat's indicating some agreement with that. So shall we move on and down to 5352. Thanks, Bernie. Bernie, I'm not hearing you. You're on mute.
No, I'm just typing. Be back with you in a sec so we keep track of things. All right. I am back on this point. Okay, now we are heading into Sec 535, which is a title. 5351 was a question of numbering that has been corrected. I do not think we need to spend a lot of time on it. 5352 is the part where we have to work on it. So let's go through it since we actually rewrote the whole thing. Well, we adjusted the whole thing and ended up wiping it out. It was simpler. The working group 5352, substantial misbehavior. The working group interprets substantial misbehavior to involve misbehavior as defined in 5351 that is either egregious or persistent and may include performing the necessary responsibilities of a designated manager in a manner that imposes serious harm or has substantial adverse impact on the internet community by posing a threat to the stability and security of the DNS. Full stop. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Bernie. And just noting in the chat that Nigel, referring back to 5351.2, needs a repeated negative to start. I've moved on my document, so I don't know quite what that means, but whoever's editing the document might look at that. Okay, I think we've been round the trap several times on this particular interpretation of substantial misbehaviour, and I'm not seeing any hands up, and so I'm pretty hopeful we could now consider this resolved as final text. I'm not seeing anything in the chat, and I'm not seeing any hands being raised. So Cheryl's indicating clapping, so we'll take the applause as acceptance of text and move on. Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. That would take us to section 536, which is a title, process for revocation in cases of substantial misbehavior. 5361 was just renumbering and removing the internet. I don't think there are many issues, and this was agreed on our last call. 5362, we did not agree on text. I could not get a hold of Becky to work on this, so I struck out on my own. This is not something that has been approved by anyone. Is just hopefully something to try and get us moving. I will read it and then we can start beating up on it. If the IANA contractor revokes the delegation, it should attempt, in collaboration with the concerned parties, to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names until a suitable replacement is identified by significantly interested parties in the manner previously described. Over to you, sir.
Okay, Nigel has his hand raised, and it might have been from the earlier point, 5.3.6.1, but anyway, Nigel.
Okay, thank you. I can dispose of this very quickly, actually. If you read 5351 absolutely pedantically, 2 says that if you carry out the responsibilities in the manner required by RFC 1591, that would be misbehavior. I'm sure that's not what we want to say. So we should repeat the words "the failure of" or "failing to" after the Roman 2, please.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's exactly what you mean. Have you caught that, Bernie? I think that's just a simple word change. Didn't quite catch what that was.
I actually don't think that's right, Nigel. The failure comes before, so it modifies both Roman 1 and little Roman 2.
For the avoidance of doubt, because, yes, you're right, it can be construed that way. But reading it, it looks odd. So if you put 1 and 2 on separate lines and put the appropriate colons and indentation, yes, you can make it look that way without changing it. But if you're running it all together, I prefer to be a little bit otiose and stick the extra words in.
Look, I think rather than sticking the words in, I'd prefer to go to sub-clause 1 and sub-clause 2 as indented sub-clauses, and then we don't need to debate the wording.
Yep. Happy with that.
I'll buy that.
Okay.
Yep, that works.
Thank you. So noted, Bernie, and Cheryl has her hand raised. Cheryl.
Thank you. I was actually on 5362, which is Bernie's proposed text. So if we've dealt with the other, I'll move to that.
I think we have. I'm not seeing
okay.
any other
Here I am assuming that we will come to some form of agreement on words that are fairly similar to this, but I wanted to do a little bit of wordsmithing specifically on these words just in case they're the ones that are accepted. So this is my minor modification of Bernie's proposed text. If the IANA contractor revokes a delegation, it should attempt, in collaboration with the significantly interested parties, to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names until a suitable replacement is identified by those parties in the manner previously described. I'm just a little concerned that we've got significantly interested parties and concerned parties, and really what we should be dealing with is just significantly interested parties. But maybe I'm wrong.
I think that to me, Martin is indicating agreement. No, I think that to me was very much the thrust of the debate, that you could be a concerned party, but it is over to the significantly interested parties.
That's certainly my memory of it, yeah.
To have their say. So I think I'm seeing agreement from Becky and Martin there, and Eberhard has his hand raised, so Eberhard.
I don't remember what my previous position was, but do we really need identified by significant interested parties? Could we not just write identified in the manner previously described? But this is not, for me, I'm going to agree with whatever the outcome is, because it's only revocation, and once revocation is done, it doesn't really matter much to me anymore.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Eberhard. Patricio.
I just wanted to call your attention to what I just wrote on the chat window. I believe that we should make it shorter and not try to say here how the appointment of the new manager is done. That's a matter for a different section of the document.
This is what I've said, no? Or what I meant, so we agree.
Okay.
But Cheryl here. I didn't read this as specifically about new appointments, but rather to maintain service of the DNS wherever possible during revocation.
Yep. So, yeah, and until a suitable replacement is identified, you could probably put full stop there.
Yeah. That could work,
That's exactly my point.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Sorry, Pavita.
So can we think about the wording being, if the IANA contractor revokes a delegation, it should attempt in collaboration with the significantly interested parties to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names until a suitable replacement is identified. Stop.
Yep.
Seems to be comfortable. I see Martin agreeing. I see Cheryl agreeing. Patricio may still have his hand up because he forgot to take it down. Or do you want the floor again, Patricio? No, hands down. And I'm seeing a lot of ticks. Maureen, Martin, and others. So I think we can proceed on the basis of that being fairly agreed, and we'll give that another read next week or next meeting. Thank you. Okay, well done, Bernie, for a bit of rough text. We probably have a way forward. So, Bernie, can we move on to 5363?
I posted my reasoning for why I use concerned parties instead of significantly interested parties, because we've defined and worked with significantly interested parties in a specific manner. And in this case, you know, as we have seen in our history, you know, although the manager can get revoked, the manager will want the CCTLD to go on and will work with IANA to try and do something. So I'm just trying to make sure that, to me, one of the most important points is that the parties actually covers the manager that is being revoked. And if we feel that significantly interested parties, although we've defined it in our previous work, does cover that, then I'm perfectly happy. I'm just exposing the point I was trying to make here.
Okay, thanks, Benny. But I don't believe you could regard the incumbent manager or the outgoing manager as being anything other than a significantly interested party. At least until the point that the redelegation is made and the zone file handed over. So, in any case, I take your point, Bernie, that maybe that was excluded in the earlier definition. Okay, I see Nigel with his hand raised. So, Nigel.
Okay, this is just a simple stylistic point. So, we're on 5363. Which reads, the FOIWG believes it is consistent with RFC 1591 and natural justice to allow a manager a right to appeal a notice of revocation by IANA to an independent body. Totally in agreement with that. I just unhappy with the word allow. It's again the discretionary thing.
Nigel, can we finish 5362 before, please?
I thought we had done.
I thought we had too, except Bernie had then raised the issue of concerned parties as opposed to significantly interested parties.
Yeah, I just took Bernie's point as being a point of clarification after we'd all agreed it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're happy replacing concerned parties with significantly interested parties in the shortened version of this.
Yes.
I'm easy either way with you, Bernie. I'm with you on it, but I'm with Cheryl as well.
Okay, I'm happy. We're done. We can move on to 563, and since you've read it, over to you, sir.
Okay.
Well, as I say, I'd just like to have a different word than allow in here. You could say that a manager has or something like that, but allow sounds like we're granting a boon or a beneficence.
To recognize the manager's right to appeal?
I like that.
Yes, I like that.
Like
yeah, that works.
Yeah. So, recognise the manager's right to appeal.
Or the manager has.
Or to recognise the manager has the right to appeal. I like that even better. Okay, any dissent? Any?
All good.
Looking good to me. Thank you. Okay. And then we struck out 53631 and 53632 because it's all now inclusive. So can we move on further down the document, please, Bernie?
Yes, sir. Moving on to Section 5.4, process to revoke a delegation. 5.4.1, no changes. 5.4.2, let me pull up the notes. Not agreed. Okay. This should be edited by Bernie and Becky. No proposed text. So this where essentially we stopped last time. So maybe we can just read this and see if we can get some input. As discussed above, revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor reasonably demonstrates that there are persistent problems with the operation of the domain, as defined in Section 5.2 above, or the manager has engaged in substantial misbehavior, as defined in Section 5.3 above, which persists despite the efforts of the IANA contractor using all means at its disposal to resolve such conduct. 5.4.2, if the substantial misbehavior undermines the stability and or security of the DNS, or a willful refusal to ensure one of the objective key requirements and necessary responsibilities of designated managers, revocation may be appropriate. Over to you, sir.
Where did that text just come from? That's not what I'm seeing on screen.
I have the same problem.
Me too.
I'm seeing it struck out.
Yeah.
I'm at Section 5.4, process to revoke a delegation, on the screen, not on my own text. And 5.4.1 is as discussed above. And 5.4.2 is mostly struck out.
Correct.
5.4.2 just has two words in it for me.
F and V, correct.
Yeah, and it should, and they should be struck out as well. What I have is 5.4.
Yeah, they should have been struck out, but they actually cause a huge formatting problem, which is why I left them there. So 5.4.2 is essentially struck out, and I've thrown in some words in 5.4.3, but it probably makes sense to go through it at this point. This is just words I've thrown together. If the IANA contractor revokes a delegation, it should attempt in collaboration with the concerned party. It's about the same sentence we just finished working on. And yes, it is on purpose. Over to you, sir.
Okay. I see. I'm not quite sure I'm a little bit confused why we're repeating, but I see Nigel and Martin with hands raised. So, firstly, Nigel.
Well, yeah, that's exactly my point. My point's about 5.4.4 as well, but this just strikes me as something we've said in different place earlier above. But I'm just confused while we're repeating ourselves.
Okay, thanks. Martin?
Thanks, Chair. I have the same problem. The only thing I can see that is different between 5.3.6 and 5.4, where essentially the same things are just repeated, is that 5.3.6 is a process for revocation in case of substantial misbehavior, whereas we're now on process to revoke a delegation. And so I wonder really whether if we translated 5.3.6.2 and 5.3.6.3, which is wording we've agreed, to make it more universally applicable by putting it in Section 5.4 to replace the existing 5.4.3 and 5.4.4. That would seem to me to cure the problem and have the advantage of shortening the text.
It sounds quite sensible to me. Thanks, Martin. Any other questions or comments? Nigel, is your hand up again, or did you just forget to take it down?
Sir, I have a note. I'm not disagreeing with anything that's being said. I was just trying to keep to the format of the original document, and I think Martin's suggestion is actually seems very sensible to me.
Okay. So I'm not seeing any disagreement or dissent. So I think we'll proceed down that path. Thanks, Benny. And I think that brings us to the end. That's right there. So Nigel was making a point about 5.4.4.2. And again, that's just, again, reiterating the manager's right of appeal. So unless anyone has any further discussion on the document, I think we have enough to proceed with. So Bernie's just noted in the chat, agreeing with Martin's suggestion to bring in the text from 5.3 into 5.4. Okay, that leaves us, I think, two items to resolve. There's 5.3.2.2, which Becky will work on some alternate wording on, and 5.3.4.1.3, which Becky and Nigel, I think, agreed to work on, and then there's a couple of little bits that Bernie was going to tidy up for a second reading. So I think, by and large, we have made substantial progress on this, and let's make all effort to approve this on our next meeting on 6th June. If we could get this done for our next meeting on 6th June, that would give us two further meetings to reread the substantive document rather than the analysis. So that might allow us the opportunity to get the revocation topic completed by Durban, which I would really, really like to do. It seems like we've been an awful long time on the topic and going quite circular and things. So if we can keep attacking it at a high level and see if we can topple it next week, that would be fantastic. So with that in mind, any other business other than the next meeting, 6th of June at 2100? If not, we've made a pretty good time and just over an hour on this call, so you can have 50 minutes of your life back. For me, being 2:10 a.m., I think that means that I can have an extra whiskey.
I might go and pour myself one.
Okay, no one got anything else to raise?
All good.
Thank you all very much for your participation, and thank you for your spirit of cooperation. Thanks for the progress. Talk to you all again on the 6th of June.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.